We're in the beginning of the month of Elul, so I want us to have a quick discussion a little bit about the concept of tshuva. Okay? When you'll study tshuva, so you'll see that tshuva has many components. You're supposed to look back and say, I'm sorry I did that. You're supposed to decide, I'm not going to do it again. There are components. So, there were many big rabbis who said that in our generation, the key to doing tshuva is to look forward and say, this is what I want to be. And not to look back and say, I regret what I was. Most of the time, if people spend a lot of time looking back, then they never look forward. In Chassidut, we say that the pasuk says, "Sur mera v'asei tov." Veer away from doing that which is wrong, and move forward in doing that which is right. So in Chassidut, they say, "Sur mera," veer away from that which is wrong. Al yedei, how do you do it? Through asei tov, through being positive. Focus on the positive. Focus on how to move forward. And that in its own merit, in its own right, will help you veer away from that, which is negative. It's very simple. Am I spending my night on Facebook? Or am I spending my night learning Torah and doing mitzvot? So I could spend my night saying, oh, I regret I was on Facebook all those nights. I regret I wasted the time. I regretted seeing things I shouldn't have seen. I have such... Where's that going to get you?
You get yourself so down, you go back to it.
Oh, so if you move forward and say, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to make a better year, I'm going to build something better. And that's why it's very important to define goals. One of the rules in time management is every time you have a block of time, write down what do you want to accomplish in that time. When we set goals, then we have A, we have where to go. B, we have the satisfaction of seeing that we've gotten there. I have these bookmarks. You guys see my bookmarks in the book? Bookmarks are an amazing thing because you can come back to the book and pick up where you left off. Because if your goal is finishing it, so that you keep moving. You keep moving. It might take you another year. It might take you another year. Eventually you finish it. That's the advantage of bookmarks. So the same is true by setting goals. Where do we want to go? I'm going to tell you a story which is not educational for you. Okay? So you have to know how to apply this story, okay? I'll explain first why it's not educational, and then I'll tell the story. Machon Meir is not a regular institution. Other places you come in, you can have an IQ of a certain level, you can have a stamina of a certain level, you can have self-motivation to a certain degree, and fine, you can get accepted. Machon Meir is a place for giants. You don't, the average people, doesn't work. Machon Meir is a place where every person that comes here is taking on Herculean tasks. People are coming and saying, I'm going to make big changes in my life. I'm going to accomplish a lot. This isn't a regular institution. This is not, you know, it's like, you know, there's school, there's day school, there's elementary school, then there's Harvard, there's Oxford. People who come to Machon Meir have actually said in their own lives, in things that are not gauged by tests, I'm going to do something really, really powerful. I'm going to do something big in my life. It could be a person who decides to do Giyur, it could be a person who decides to do Chazrab Tshuva, it could be a person who says, I'm going to take a month of self-development. But there's a tremendous strength that walks in these doors. This isn't, you know, I'm always embarrassed when people stand up. I walk into the room. I was born to a certain family, grew up in that family, continued the path. Okay, good for me, wonderful. Every other person that's in this place has made huge choices in their life. So that's why this story is not so educational for you guys. But the story is educational because it teaches us a lot. And that's why I'm going to tell you the story. But again, you guys are in a class of its own right. If a person comes to Machon Meir and says, okay, there are 613 mitzvot. Okay, so this year, I won't turn on a light on Shabbos. Next year, I'll see what else I take on. You understand that he's never going to get where he has to get to. This year, he won't turn on a light, but he'll drive a car, he'll eat non-kosher. You know, you can't do things so slowly. On the other hand, I'm always the guy who says, go slow, don't rush, because whatever you're doing is you're rushing too much as it is. There's a balancing act, and it's a tough balancing act. And because you guys are always pushing forward and charging forward and taking on really tough stuff, and then you have to ask yourself, did I live up to it? Didn't I live up to it? That's why this story is educational. Okay? I'm giving a lot of introductions, because otherwise the story is really antithetical to what we're doing here at Machon Meir. And Machon Meir people are saying, I'm going to keep Torah and mitzvos. And we say, do it, but slowly, gradually. And here's the story. There was a big rabbi who taught in the top yeshiva in Israel. His name was Harav Shalom Shvadron. And he was responsible for teaching ethics and self-development in the yeshiva. So one year it was the month of Elul. And he went to his Rebbe. And he asked his Rebbe, what should I take upon myself for this month of Elul? So his Rebbe said to him, think about what you can do pleasantly, easily, without killing yourself. And that's what you should take on for the month. So he said, think about it, then come back to me. So Rav Shalom Shvadron thought about it, and he came back to his Rebbe, and he said, I figured out what I can do pleasantly and easily. He said, because I want you to last the whole year. I don't want you to take something on, and then it lasts for 2 months, for 1 month, for 2 weeks, for 1 week. It's got to be that you're building something real in yourself. So he said, I came back, I figured out what's right for me. So his Rebbe said, fine, now that you figured it out, do half that. Okay? As Rebbe said, now do half of what you thought you can do. The key being, at least do it. One of the rabbeim here at the Machon told the story. Now, when he was in university, he went to the Chabad house. He didn't know too much about Judaism, so he then went to Israel, spent 2 months in Tzfat, came back to the Chabad house and went to the rabbi of the Chabad house. He wasn't home. The Rebbetzin answered the door. He came with forelocks. He came with a beard. He said, Rebbetzin, I have such good news for you. She said, what's the deal? He says, I'm observant. She said, really, what does that mean? He says, I keep Shabbos, I keep kosher, I learn Torah. She says, how'd that happen? He said, I spent 2 months in Tzfat, and I'm observant. She said, that's wonderful. That is great. Please don't come back to the Chabad house. He said, Rebbetzin, I thought you'd be proud of me. Why are you telling me not to come back? She said, let's go for a walk. So they start walking. I'm telling you the story. This is one of your teachers here in our department, he said, the story about himself. They started walking, and she said to him, every year I see guys like this. They take a leap forward. They take everything on, and it lasts a few months, and then nothing lasts. They go back. Everything goes out the window. So she said, we're not about that. We're trying to build something very real with you guys. So if you're going to do that, go have your hype, and don't be a part of the Chabad house. So he said, Rebbetzin, so what are you saying I should do? She said, I want you to take on one thing, but that one thing you have to promise me that all year you're going to keep it. Take one thing, but do it. Do it all the way and do it all year. He said, one thing, Rebbetzin, I told you I'm ready to keep Shabbos, kosher, learn Torah, everything. She said, one thing. He said, when he said over the story, I was there, he said, by the end of the year, he couldn't figure out how he's going to hold on to that one thing. But that's because he was in an environment of a university. He was in a place where all of his life around him was still his old life. Then he made Aliyah. He came to Machon Meir. He was still a student here when I started teaching here. And he came into an environment where he could grow. So on the one hand, you're in an environment where you guys can accomplish a lot. This is an environment where you don't have to worry about, am I going to remember Shacharis? Everyone gets up for Shacharis. You don't have to worry about, am I going to remember to daven a mincha? It's not that you're in the middle of courses or business meetings and how am I going to remember to daven mincha or ma'ariv? It's easy. On the other hand, growth has to be at a pace where you can grow comfortably. I say it's like driving a car, and for our Dutch fellows, we'll say it's like riding a bike. When you ride up the hill, you better not put it on the highest gear. You can't do that. So what do you say? I'm always looking for the motor to be purring. There's a noise that, you know, the motor isn't working too hard. It's not working too easy. It's not, you know, you go downhill and you put it on the lowest gear and the wheels are spinning and you're not doing anything when you hit the gas, right? You did nothing. So that's growth. Spiritual growth has to be that balance that on the one end, the motor is giving energy. On the other hand, I'm not working too hard. I have to be working, I have to be growing, I have to be growing at a pace where I can handle it, where I could smile in the morning, where I could enjoy it, and if it's taking everything out of me, then I have to slow down, take a break, I like going over people's schedules with them.
Not effortless, but
I always say when I look over the schedule, I don't think you have enough breaks. It's my constant comment. Whenever I look over a guy's schedule, I say, wait, where's the exercise? Where's the coffee break? How could you learn so many hours straight? You gotta take a break. You gotta enjoy. Growth has to be balanced. There has to be growth. You came here to grow. Another hand, grow at a pace that you're comfortable so that you can retain it, so that it's real. Yes, sir.
Is it worse to take on a lot at the beginning? And yeah, there are the issues and stuff, but the place you end up is higher than you were before.
The question is it filled with frustration? Success breeds success. When you take on something and you see you could do it and you're happy doing it, so then you feel like doing more. And when you take on something and you can't do it, and then you keep being frustrated that you can't do it, then it's very hard not to throw out everything. It's hard. And that's why we prefer building with steps that we can succeed. You know, Rav Shach was benching from a bencher. So they saw the student had gotten him a bencher. He was in the middle of benching. And then at some point he stopped. He got up, took out another bencher, and continued benching. So the student asked him after benching. He said, what was wrong with the bencher I got you? So he said, oh, it was missing a few lines. And I had accepted upon myself that when I bench, I should always do it from the text. I shouldn't do it by heart. So I reached those few lines and I said, why should I lose? I said, this year I'm going to be careful to read so that I'm focused. I don't lose my concentration. So I stopped my benching. I went and got another bench and I continued reading from the lines. That's because he knew he kept succeeding at doing it. Meaning success gives us the strength to continue. That's the challenge. What you're describing might work for some people. The question is, do you walk around feeling frustrated or do you walk around being happy? Our goal is that you walk around being happy. Our goal is that you walk around and say, I did it. And the small successes are what give us strength to do the big successes. Rav Shach once said, we all know the math. We can all look at ourselves and say, here's the point where I need to fix, and that's the point where I need to fix, and that's the point. And he said, when we approach Rosh Hashanah, take the easy stuff. Take the stuff you can hold on to. It'll give you the strength to take on harder stuff. And there's one more point I want to end with if we're talking about tshuva. We blow shofar every morning now in the month of Elul. Why do we blow shofar? So it says, when Moshe went up to the mountain, so they lost track of the days, they counted incorrectly, they thought the 40th day came, Moshe didn't come down, they said we have to appoint a new leader, so they set up a golden calf. So the next time Moshe goes up the mountain, they said we can't let that happen again, let's blow shofar every morning. What does blowing shofar accomplish? So you blew shofar, great. What'd you accomplish? So we'll all count together, right? Wait a second. Why didn't they give a class in Jewish philosophy every day? You lose track of the count, and that's why you go and set up a golden calf, so you're going to blow shofar. That's the solution. Everyone will have an accurate calendar. We won't make that mistake again. So the first answer, the simple answer is yes. Sometimes the key is finding the source of the problem. You look at a guy and the guy tells you, I'm going to a psychiatrist, I must have Prozac. And you say, why must you have Prozac? And he says, I'm depressed. And you say to him, do you know that research has proven that if you do 45 minutes of exercise a day before 6 p.m., your bloodstream is as affected by that as by using Prozac. Why don't you go do exercise? It's good for you. 45 minutes a day before 6 p.m. I heard it from a Harvard psychiatrist. I have a friend who's a psychiatrist in Harvard, and he said they checked this out medically. 45 minutes of exercise before 6 p.m. brings your bloodstream to the same place as Prozac. So you have a problem, you wanna solve it. So the first answer is, yeah, make sure you got the root of it. People say, I need a better alarm clock. I'm not getting up on time in the morning. How about trying to go to bed on time? That might be better than better alarm clock. So sometimes the root of the problem is looking at a step before the problem itself. You know, I always end up in a yelling match with my parents. So maybe you shouldn't call them and discuss these topics with them. Maybe you should SMS them, email them. Maybe you shouldn't be discussing these topics that'll bring you into a yelling match with them. Maybe there are ways to avoid the problem to begin with. No, we'll talk about these topics and I won't explode. Maybe not. So the first simple answer is, let's get the count right, we won't run into trouble. But there's a second answer. Blowing shofar is to remind us our value system. When you blow shofar, you suddenly remember there's going to be a call. You guys probably, I don't know if any of you were here, when we had sirens. I was once walking that street, Kanfei Nisharim, and I heard a siren. And I looked up and I saw two missiles. You know what it's like to walk on the street and see two missiles above your head? Yeah?
Yes. I've seen it.
In Holland, when do you have that?
What? In Holland. I was with my youngest son in Israel. 14.
Okay, 2014,
and
right?
We saw them landing in Arab countries.
Nah, here, I'm talking to you up the block.
Here,
You know, I'm running into a building. I saw the missile, and I'm running into the building to look for the miklat. So that siren has a tremendous meaning. We if you haven't heard that siren, the shofar is that siren. There's a war. There's an attack. You better go pray. You know, when I was a kid, it was the Cold War. So they used to have all these jokes about what would happen if there'd be a nuclear war. So my uncle once called me in, and he said to me, "You know what happens if a nuclear war breaks out?" I said, "No." He says, "You grab a bunch of blankets, you go into the corner of the room, you take it to Hillen, you cover yourself with blankets, and you wish yourself goodbye."
Not funny. That's
not funny. You're dead.
Right, that's what he was telling me. All these talk and everything. If it happens, just, get the blankets, get the tilling, and then be prepared to say goodbye. So, give me a minute. What does the shofar do? The shofar brings us to a point where we ask ourselves, what are our values? How did they run to the eagle? They ran to the eagle because they forgot key values. Why are we running out of davening? Why is it that mitzvos are difficult or challenging? It's because we forget our key value. Let's take an example. There was a guy who was flying, and it was a long flight. They had a stopover in New Zealand. So they get off the plane, him and his wife. They have 10 hours stopover. What are they going to do? They don't know anyone in New Zealand. So they walk out of the airport, and there's this huge public garden. And they figure, let's go see the New Zealand public garden. What are we going to do? They walk into the New Zealand public garden, and two people walk over to the man, and they look at him. They give him a funny look, and he's a little bit concerned, like he's new to this place. And one of them asks him, "Are you a Jew?" So he wasn't sure if he should say yes or no. But he remembered the halacha says that you're not supposed to deny you're a Jew out of fear. So he looks at them and he says, "Yes." And what happens next is the two guys take a few steps back. And they're looking at him, and he's thinking, what are they doing? They're going to charge me? What did I... And he's eyeing them, and they look at him, and then one of them, like in almost a whisper, says to him, "What does it feel like to be the Son of God?" And he's standing there like he's wondering which position he should take to be prepared for their attack. And then they ask him this question, and he suddenly turns bright red. Like, what was he thinking? What were they thinking? So he wrote this. He wrote this down, this story. He recorded the story. He said, "You know, I had to go to New Zealand to be in a public garden for someone to remind me what's my task in this world." We look at mitzvot, sometimes you go to pray and you say, "I have a lot to do today. Do I have time for prayer today? I have a lot to do today. Do I have time to help so and so?" I learned in a Beis Medrash in the Old City that Rav Neventzal established just because he wanted Jews to come to the Old City to learn Torah.
You learned in the TIF?
No. And when they established the Beis Medrash, so they got one donor, and so on all their letterheads, there's the name, "Our learning is in the merit of so-and-so." And then they got another donor, and on all their letterheads it says, our learning is in the merit of so-and-so. And then the rabbi who started the yeshiva, Rabbi Nevenzahl, said, there's a young man who died without family, he never got married, and so he put in honor of that young man, he put in, and our learning is dedicated to Avraham ben something, HaKohen, HaBachur, the young man who died without a family. So when we would always look at the Kola letterhead, we'd always wonder, who's that young man? We didn't know. And you look at it and you say, I did a favor, there was a young man, he died without a family, I'm a nice guy. Right? So Rav Nevenzahl could walk around say, feeling, no one paid me for it, I have other donors' names, and his name is up there, I'm a nice guy, I did a good thing for him. The Kola was on the verge of collapse. They hadn't had the funds to do anything for a year. And they went to one donor, and they come into the donor, and the donor is interested. Not interested, he's not sure he's interested. At one point he says, I want to see your letterhead. So he looks at the letterhead, he wants to see who the donors are. And then he sees the name of the young man, and he says, how do you know him? Who's that young man? How do you know that young man? So, I'm not sure what they answered. He said, I knew that young man. I learned with him. He was a friend of mine. I knew he died without kids. And when he saw that, his eyes shone, and he said, if this is what you guys do, no one even paid you money. You're just learning Torah and his memory too. I'm going to help you. And ever since then, he turned the whole kollel around. Arranged millions of dollars for the kollel. Now, let's take a step back. Who was helping whom? When they went forward and they wrote on every letterhead, this is in this young man's memory, no one paid the money for it. So they thought, we're being nice to the young man. Suddenly the whole Kola's existence is thanks to that sentence. Our learning is a memory of that young man as well.
He would take care of them.
I'm saying, when we approach mitzvot, they blow shofar every morning. We blow shofar every morning. It's a wake-up call. What's important to me in life? You ask the average person, why do you work? Why does your wife take care of the kids? My wife takes care of the kids so I could go out to work. How could I work if I were taking care of the kids, right? Wrong. You're working so your wife can take care of the kids. She's not taking care of the kids so you could go work. The work is
secondary.
The supportive role. The prime role is your role as a member of society, as a parent, as a spouse. But we forget that. So then when our kid wants to talk to us, we say, I'm busy. Because I'm doing real important things. I'm at work. And when work needs me, but my kid is getting his first sitter, do I tell work, I'm sorry, I'm busy. My child is getting his first sitter and I have to be there for him. What's more important? The blowing shofar is the wake-up call. Where are my values? The Jews wouldn't have gone for the golden calf. They would have remembered that. And we, many of our decisions, we have to ask ourselves, what's really important? I always marvel at the challenge I have. Should I run out of shul because I have to accomplish something? But why do I think I'll accomplish it if I run out of shul? What's the challenge is because we have to keep hitting that reset button. So when we blow shofar in the mornings, part of what we're supposed to do is arouse ourselves and say, what's important to me? And here I want to throw a challenge to you. I recommend this challenge often in many different classes. I believe it can be life-altering. Take a piece of paper. At the end of the piece of paper, write 20. And then draw a line after that. And then ask yourself, where do I want to be in 20 years? Fill it in. You finished filling in the 20? Only after you finished filling in the 20, write down 10. And draw a line after that. And fill it in. Where do you want to be in 10 years? You finished, and only after you finished filling in what you want to do in 10 years, write down 5. And fill in that column. And only after you finish filling in that column, go over to 3. And ask yourself where you want to be in 3 years. And when you finish that, go over to 6 months. And ask yourself, what's my plan for 6 months from now? Does it fit in with the 3, the 5, the 10, the 20? People spend their whole lives worried about tomorrow and the next half a year. And they never stop to ask themselves, where do I want to be in 20 years? And I'll give you a small example. People say, I have to leave yeshiva, I have to get a job. And I say, why are you getting a job? I have to build a family. And I say, well, your time in yeshiva will be one of the most substantial things you're doing in order to build a family. So in other year, in the span of 20 years from now, you're going to look back and say, I regret I spent that year in yeshiva. Or will you look back and say, I spent 20 years trying to bring up a family. I didn't know how to make kiddush. I don't know how to learn with my kid. I'm missing so many basic tools. I wish I would have taken that year. Because in the span of 20 and 30 years, that year really isn't consequential. It's consequential if you make it consequential. It can be the pivotal year that helps you in how you build your life. But then the question is, am I thinking in the span of 20, 30 years, or am I thinking in the span of 6 months? So...